This is KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food. When I was in grade school, my mom used to take us to the local food co-op. I remember that it smelled funny, not bad, just funny. It was a small building with a lot crammed into it. I remember it being slightly dark with narrow aisles, but it wasn't creepy. It was more kind of an adventure for a 7 or 8 year old boy. There were round barrels filled with flowers and grains I had never heard of. There were bulk nuts and dried fruits, and even bulk treats like white chocolate, and what I thought was chocolate, but was disappointingly carob. I now know I don't like white chocolate in my own right, though the white chocolate with the ghost chili pepper in it that I tasted in my first show was quite nice, and carob isn't bad, but Mom, I get to make my own food choices now, and I'm always going to opt for chocolate. There aren't very many food co-ops in California. There are a total of 2 between the 4-county span of Ventura and Monterey counties. There's an initiative to get a new food co-op in Paso Robles, which warranted the attention of Playing with Food. I saw food co-ops as an opportunity to find bizarre ingredients that I can use to resurrect my chemistry degree and concoct delectables in my kitchen. This month's journey wasn't quite like that, but it wasn't far off.
I think the cooperatives have moved way past the hippie movement now. We still have some old hippies that shop here.
It is San Luis, so.
Yeah, it is San Luis. So. But people are becoming more and more aware of where their food comes from and how important it is to shop local and shop at a place where you can trust that your produce doesn't have any pesticides. You know, that the majority of it is organic, and if it's not organic, it's locally grown and pesticide-free for the small farmers who don't want to get the organic certification. We don't have any commercial produce here, and so people come here because they feel like they can trust us. Most of it's going to be organic and, you know, or at least minimum natural. People are becoming more and more aware of the food they put in their mouth and how it impacts the community and the environment. And so we have a lot of just regular people that come in and shop here because they want real food.
There are the ubiquitous cooperative food bins of stuff.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing that you're going to find a set like this in any cooperative grocery store that you would go to in North America. It's a staple. It's a driving part of the store.
We have over 700 different bulk items in the store, which includes the bulk spices and teas that are right behind you, of which we have very many, which is really awesome and we love to promote, especially when we do shopping on a budget tours, because if you're doing a new recipe or, you know, maybe you're on a really low budget for the week and you're eating kind of some basic foods that might feel a little boring after a few days of eating them in a row, you can buy 10 cents of a spice and add it and totally game change your meal. Bulk spices are amazing for trying new recipes or for getting creative, and if you're on a budget, you can spice up your life a little bit. We also, of course, really encourage people to bring their own containers, and we are actually the only store in Santa Barbara where we will weigh that container to make sure you are not getting charged for the container you bring in.
That was Gwen Schmidt, general manager of Slow Natural Foods Co-op. After her, we're part of the team at Isla Vista Food Cooperative, Marissa Bragstad, outreach manager, and Steve Schneider, merchandising manager. Slow Natural Foods was founded in 1979. There's a photo of the original founders on the website with plenty of long hair and short shorts. There are plenty of beards, too. Clearly, some styles haven't changed. Isla Vista Natural Foods was founded in 1973. They've long outgrown their original site, and I met Marissa and Steve in what looked like any small, normal supermarket. The interview was conducted in the store's employee break room, and true to form for what we tend to think about both Isla Vista and food cooperatives, it was the patio outside the back of the store. There were a few plastic picnic tables and chairs, and part of the patio was covered with a tarp for the roof. There was some miscellaneous storage of hardware, and some deliveries came through while we were talking. It definitely beats a big corporate break room on the back side of a refrigeration unit or sitting at the edge of a loading dock. You will hear the community working around us
and the occasional crow.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done.
Cooperative Grocery, as we do it here at Isla Vista, is a grocery store that was founded by the community back in the 1970s. And this cooperative comes out of that, people who decided that they wanted to have control over where their food came from and what kind of food they had. And so, in that sense, the Isla Vista Food Co-op is not a coercive business. This business was not put into the community by someone who wanted to make money off the community. This business was created by the community for itself, expressly for the purpose of providing access to the highest quality food, but also the food that the community itself wanted. That's kind of the nature of cooperatives in general. It's a community coming together and saying, this isn't being provided to us in the format or the way that we want it, and so we're going to do it ourselves.
A cooperative is owned by individual people in the community who all have an equal share in the business and all benefit from the resources that the co-op provides. We are different from Trader Joe's or Sprouts or Whole Foods or Albertsons in that they're owned by a small group of investors usually, and they exist to make profit. We are owned by the community. We exist to provide resources for the community and fulfill the community's needs. As an owner of the co-op, if you choose to invest in the business, you also get benefits such as 10% off 4 times a year, and you also get to vote for the board of directors.
Gwen's account of what a co-op is was not much different.
Well, the co-op movement has been going on for a very long time, but the most recent incarnation was around the 70s. That's where we started, and most of it started as a buying club, and people would get together and out of their garages and everything. And then in 1978 is when we actually became a store. And so we've been here for almost 39 years now, and we're all about sustainability, working with local. I like to say we do local better. It's not a buzzword for us. It's not a marketing plan. It's what we've always done for the 39 years that we've been a store. It's a different business model. It's a democratic business model, and we're owned by our members. We have a volunteer board of directors, and our members can vote on the board of directors and actually have input in the store. So our profits, if we have some, they don't go out of the community. They stay here. It's all part about being sustainable and local and offering good, real food to our community.
My big question about food co-ops was, of course, an awkward one. Do the patrons come to the co-op because there are market forces driving them, like pricing, volume, convenience, because of the products that are offered, or because of the ideology of local, sustainable, and fair trade? From the view of my 8-year-old self, my mom went because she wanted to make her own whole grain bread and pretend to snack healthily on carob. But here's what Gwen in Slo had to say.
I think it's both. I mean, obviously, most of our customers, fair trade's important and stuff like that. You know, a lot of people come for the products that we have, the variety of products that we have, and a lot of it is kind of unusual, and you may not see it in other locations.
Steve focused on the inclusiveness of Isla Vista toward the shopper and then offered a delicious example of the market forces at work.
We welcome anyone who wants to come to the co-op. We also have no illusions of market domination because we're less than 3,000 square feet and there's just me with some buyers, and we don't have the ability to provide everything that everyone wants to purchase here. I fully understand the attention to quality and the attention to aspects of food that we find important, that's actually in our mission statement, and a board of directors that provides direction on what should be on our shelves, right? And that's what goes back to the interesting food that you described being familiar with from the first cooperative that you went into. That comes from the mission statement and the idea that the cooperative would provide access to a broad variety of foods so people can make their own choices. There are plenty of other grocery stores that do the thing that mass market grocery does. We can't do that here, and to be honest, I have no interest in doing that. What I do is look at who's shopping in the store, pay attention to who's shopping in the store, what they're buying, sales history, sales trends, and make certain that we cover those needs, but then also pay attention to emerging trends. What is maybe on the horizon? Maybe there's a few people interested in it, but it's something that could be of much greater interest. For example, fair trade is the perfect example. In 1997, it wasn't even a word. It wasn't even something that anyone spoke about, as far as I can recall, as being a buyer here. It has emerged over time to be a substantial driving factor in the cooperative movement regarding what sits on our shelves and how we interact with manufacturers and growers and such. I definitely play a role in what's on our shelves. I'm fascinated by chocolate, and so I go out of my way to make sure that we have a huge chocolate set. But the response to that has been actually kind of overwhelming. The quantity of chocolate that we sell sometimes really takes me by surprise. But I put it there, and we talk about it. We let people know the difference between the chocolate that we have in our set and what people may have grown up with as far as mass market. And I really believe that when people try these chocolate brands that maybe they've never heard of or they're interested in because of the social justice aspects of fair trade or the environmentally conscious aspects of the growers and whatever, not only do you understand the philosophical side of what fair trade actually means, but you can taste it because it doesn't taste like what you would expect it to the first time that you try a true fair trade dark chocolate bar. It's a different eating experience, and I feel that's what we really, if anything drives this cooperative, it's providing access to difference. It's providing access to something different from the uniformity of a mass market grocery store.
So where do they get the food for the co-ops, and how do you know what to buy above and beyond locally grown in-season produce? Gwen first, then Steve.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
It can be a little challenging sometimes because we're a small store and they're a small producer, and so we're all probably wearing way more hats than we should be wearing. You know, you can't just call someone a lot of times and get someone immediately. He might be out on the farm or, you know, or whatever. It can be a little challenging. It's hard for us to make it worth their while to make a trip in because we are small too. But it's important that we do those steps and we work a little harder to get our local vendors in here because it's a win-win for the community. And we do have many local vendors, so I'm very proud of that. I work long hours, let's put it that way. The first 9 months I was here, I worked 6 days a week. I'm now down to most of the time 5 days a week, but they're long days, and then I sometimes work in the evening, sometimes on weekends at home, and you know, and stuff like that too. But it's rewarding.
We have to be very responsive to not just our member owners, but everybody who shops here. And as the merchandising manager, a big part of my job is paying attention to what's happening as far as what people are buying, what people are not buying, what people used to buy but don't buy anymore, and what it seems like people want to purchase that we haven't brought into the store yet. The changing of the product mix, the resetting of the aisles, and the understanding of what's truly important to our demographic, which is a word that I use a lot in talking about a grocery store. You have to understand who's actually shopping in your store, which directs what your store looks like, what's on the shelves, and how it interacts with the community in general. Marissa can talk a lot about our interaction with the community because what I do is half of the co-op, and what Marissa does is the other half.
Walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway.
It's not 100% community-based. It would be difficult to have a full-service grocery store without some national structure. After all, California is the largest agricultural state in the Union, so someone has to negotiate prices to distribute it. Steve had the answer.
Marissa spoke extensively about our basics program, and I've mentioned that our national organization, NCG, National Cooperative Grocers. NCG is an organization, it's a business services cooperative, which created and owned by the individual co-ops. It's a cooperative for a cooperative. We're one of the founding members of the NCG. I think now there's maybe a little over 160 cooperative grocers in the United States. This national organization, NCG, negotiates for us with manufacturers that we would like to work with in our stores or that we historically have worked with. And the basics program comes out of that. And the Field Day brand that Marissa mentioned is a brand that was negotiated into existence for the exact purpose of providing lower price point and everyday low price for the highest quality products that can make it into the desired price point.
This land was made for you and me.
Both co-ops emphasize their connections with the local communities. It was then fair to ask, how do you reach out to the community, your grocery store? Marissa had a wonderful example that I would never have thought of a grocery store would do.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by.
So we have a Sunflower Kids Club program, which is in-store, as well as we do a free activity day once a month. So our in-store program, every time you come shopping with your child, ages I think 2 to 12, you get a free piece of local produce, which changes with the seasons. We also have a scavenger hunt in the store, so the clue changes every week. And then after the kids answer 6 clues, they get to pick something from our treasure chest. And then the free activity day is 3 hours every third Saturday of the month, and it mainly is comprised of kids who live in Isla Vista, and then it usually has an educational aspect, also a creative aspect. They really enjoy the raffles that we do as well, which next Kids Activity Day that we're doing in June, we're going to be raffling off a wagon, which is really exciting. A Woodstocks wagon that we got from National Co-op Grocers. So we're promoting organic products while also fulfilling a need for a free wagon for kids in our community.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by.
It's time for me to check out unique and unusual foodstuffs in the maze of aisles. I got tours of both stores, and then I did some shopping of my own. The stores were brightly lit as any normal grocery store, and the aisles were a bit wider than I remember. Two people could be exploring the shelves on opposite sides of the aisle without it turning into a scene in a Nora Ephron chick flick. Let's have a walk around the store, and you can show me some of the more unique items that you have.
Let's start with the freezer, since we're right here. This is a gelato company, Tondi Gelato, located in Santa Barbara. And they manufacture non-dairy desserts, which are delicious, and we have them here. On this end of the freezer, the animal protein end of the freezer, we have Malaya pork. Comes from a vintner up on the Gaviota coast who runs hogs amongst his grapes. Slaughters the hogs and sells the pork several times a year. And so we stock various cuts and sausages and ground pork. The local popcorns that I mentioned previously, Santa Barbara Popcorn is one brand and Hippie Pop is the other brand. They do two different takes on high-end gourmet popcorn, I guess I'll refer to it. Delicious in their own ways. We work with both of those manufacturers here. The response from our customers has been great. So quite a bit of popcorn.
But certainly it looks like, looking at the size and the price, it's something that you don't have every movie night, but maybe a special movie night.
A special movie night or just as a special snack. Yeah.
So interesting flavors, truffle herb, Leadbetter barbecue, Hope Ranch, and spicy original.
There you go.
Honey Dijon popcorn as well, balsamic vinegar and Italian herb. Wow. Maple and brown sugar.
All the popcorns are actually vegan as well, which is pretty neat even if you weren't initially expecting them to be. So it actually caters to people who aren't vegan or vegetarian who might not initially think to buy that sort of product, and then they try it and they're like, oh, this is really delicious.
Hang on, you've got these two machines that they look like a regular bin for nuts, and you put your bag underneath and whatever, but underneath it, it actually is oozing with something else. So you got peanuts and you've got almond.
You can grind your own peanut butter and your own almond butter right here in the store. We sell a surprising quantity of both peanut butter and almond butter. These machines, they're not running right now, which is surprising because usually they're running all day long.
That is amazing.
And right next door is our local honey. And next door to that is our local olive oil from olives grown in the San Ynez Valley. This honey collected from areas which are heavy in sage in the San Ynez Valley as well. Sacha Inchi is a fairly new thing that I'm not sure how well known it is now. We've had it for, it's a little while now, like a year, maybe more than a year. Super high in protein, really fascinating flavor.
But I heard that there are actually other companies now that are looking to source Sacha Inchi through Imlakesh to do it for like protein powders. You can make it into a protein powder, for instance, and put that into other foods. So it seems like it, last I heard, it is kind of getting picked up by other bigger brands that might want to incorporate Sacha Inchi into their products.
Okay,
so
show it to me. Oh, it just looked like hazelnuts.
It's very interesting texture and flavor, completely different than anything you've ever tried.
It kind of tastes like you took a handful of mixed nuts and ate the handful of mixed nuts at the same time. Hang on. There's an aftertaste of, I can't describe it.
You're tasting the oils now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Sacha Inchi, it's actually a legume. It's in the pea and bean family. It's not a nut. The plant, if you look it up, plant, it's a fascinating plant as well. It grows in subtropics and tropical rainforests. It's definitely a crunchy element that you could add to salads. You could probably grind it up in a curry.
They also sell Sacha Inchi powder, but you could, of course, grind it up yourself. And we put it into our mocha energy bites that we make here at the co-op. That's the protein we use for those.
My name is Tatiana Zamosa, and I'm the bulk buyer here, and I also make the grab-and-go foods.
We can start here in the bulk because that is something that is unique to co-ops, where you can bring your own packaging and weigh it and then fill it. And you'll see a lot of unusual seeds that way, and grains in particular. If you turn around this way, what you don't see in other stores but you'll find at co-ops is that we have bulk items like oils, or tamari, which is a type of a soy sauce, or honey. The oil and the honey that we provide come from a local purveyor. So those are local products. The oil is award-winning oil. It's got the gold medal for the oils in our area. And when we bring items to the co-op, we look first to see what the local people are doing, what's artisanal and what's unique about it. And we try to bring it to the public and at a very good price too. So that's why we offer it in bulk. We also have it in containers if people buy that way. But the co-op is also an idea of more eco-minded buying. So often people will bring their own containers and fill them. But we also have containers for you if you want to do that. Unique things that you'll find in bulk, also we have herbs, culinary herbs or medicinal herbs. But in bulk foods, you'll find grains that are getting to be very the thing to include into your diet now for high nutrients, high density nutrient kind of idea, high fiber, and lots of antioxidants. So you won't find this in most stores except for in a package, but here, because it sells so well, we have it in bulk. Like amaranth is an unusual grain that people are not used to using so much anymore, but sells really well here. Then we have things like buckwheat. We have one in raw and we have one toasted, and that is a gluten-free, not a grain, but it's used as a grain. It's related to the rhubarb family, but it tastes and acts like a grain, and it's got wonderful nutrient qualities.
Now, I see that you have refried beans mix, and it's not wet.
Right. It's a dry, yeah.
Instant refried beans.
Yeah, instant. Yeah, you can use them. Many people come in to use them for their hikes. It's a very tasty item that you just need to add water to, maybe even a little oil if you have it, not necessary. But there are several soups that we have that you can do that. We've got a split pea soup and a curry lentil soup that you can do that with, even hummus. So it's in dry form. It's like astronaut food for the hiker.
Like Tang.
In our co-op, we have something that is called camel milk that is just now being offered to the public in America.
Well, we have over 300 bulk herbs in our store, medicinal herbs, culinary herbs, teas. Most of the herbs can be made into teas, even if it's not considered a tea. We have such things as we have hops, echinacea, corn silk, horehound. These are all medicinal. And then, of course, we have turmeric, fabulous, fabulous organic turmeric, fennel seed and fenugreek and all kinds of culinary herbs also. And the shelves that they're in, maybe not as new as they should be, but they're from the old store. I'm not sure how tall that is. It's at least probably 6-7 feet tall, pretty wide, and a bunch of shelves and jars. And you can see the end of the jars. So you see all the different colors. You can see the bright yellow of the turmeric. Cornstarch, of course, is white. Chili pods are red. You know, they just it's very colorful. You've got green and you've got red and you've got brown, many shades of brown. I think it's beautiful. And many of our customers and our members, they feel like when they come into this location that in this area, it's a little bit of the old store with here. It, you know, we brought the old store with us.
What is marshmallow root? You're out of it, by the way.
To be honest, I'm not sure what marshmallow root is.
I'll look it up online.
People can come in and talk to Teresa, and she can tell you everything about all these over 300 herbs because she is the queen of the herbs here. So we're either out of stock of it because the manufacturer's out, or maybe it's a really big seller.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
My tours of the co-ops in Isla Vista and San Luis Obispo both confirmed some stereotypes that I had formed as a young child and opened my eyes to the modern co-op tailored to the 21st century Central Coast lifestyle. Gwen, Steve, and Marissa were well-versed in both the ethos of the 21st century co-op scene and the operations of a modern grocery store. The talks and tours were so intriguing that time slipped into the future. Editing time, that is. Playing in the co-op is a two-part program. You will have to wait until next month to hear about my shopping spree, my playing with food using the unique ingredients I found in the aisles of both Isla Vista and Slo co-ops, and what the shoppers think. What about the initiative to get a food co-op in Paso Robles? That's in the next segment as well. I sat down with Greg Ellis, board president of Paso Food Co-op, and you will hear the joys and challenges of starting a grocery store and not doing it in the hippie way. So be sure to mark your calendar for the next installment and go to kcbx.org/programs/playing-food to hear the podcasts. In the meantime, hop into your Prius and get to Isla Vista or San Luis with your hemp bags for life and grab some of the freshest, tastiest, and best food on the Central Coast. What was it that Gwen said?
I like to say we do local better.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.
I want to fly.